Millions of Americans are looking for effective ways to manage their weight, but finding the right support can feel confusing and time-consuming. Orderly Meds offers a convenient online experience that connects you with licensed medical providers to explore GLP-1 treatment options from home. The process is simple. Complete your information online, connect with a provider, and learn what options may be right for you. No waiting rooms, no complicated scheduling, just a modern, streamlined experience designed around convenience. Visit orderlymeds.com/podcasts to learn more today. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. One more time, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.
This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Welcome to a Friday edition of Spits and Suds. So glad you can join us as we continue to roll out these off-season episodes, and really excited about one today. A bevy of subjects, let's just call it, with our NHL and Stars insider Sean Shapiro joining us in just a couple of minutes. Still time to take care of that spring cleaning by getting with the on-time experts. These guys are my buddies. They're the official sponsor of Spits and Suds, and also the official HVAC company of the Dallas Stars. They said, hey, we want to support local hockey in DFW, and they are certainly doing it. You see the Zamboni around the ice, the on-time experts. You see the ribbon. You see the bright orange on the scoreboard. That's the on-time experts. So they've embraced the Dallas Stars and local hockey, so I like to embrace them. They have two great specials, $59 for first-time customers. Get that AC unit clean before it's too late. You can feel the weather getting warmer outside. Do not watch the Stanley Cup in heat. Get that AC taken care of. And then first-time customers, $99 for first floor drain cleaning. And there is no better feeling than running that sink and it's not clogged up and everything is working smooth. You don't want to go under the sink, specifically as the weather gets hot. You don't want to clean sinks, right? So they'll take care of that as well. Same-day service guaranteed. In fact, they called me three times to update me as far as when they were showing up at the house. That's the kind of TLC you're going to receive from the on-time experts. 4.8 out of 5 stars, folks, nearly 6,000 reviews. I have used them multiple times. I will continue to use them. Every time I see an on-time experts van on the highways here in DFW, I get excited because someone is about to be a customer for life. Don't forget about them. Make sure you cross these things off your list. It's springtime heading into the summer before we know it. The on-time experts at theontimeexperts.com. We bring in our man, Sean Shapiro, from his Substack Shots. From D Magazine, where he penned a terrific article earlier in the week about Jamie Benn. From Elite Prospects, where he penned some great articles there as well. He's one of the best in the business. How are you, my friend?
I'm good, Gavin. I'm good. It's Friday. We got a bunch of, I don't know if it's cliche to call it spring cleaning when you do it in the middle of May, but got a bunch of stuff done around the house this morning before getting a couple of things done, and then gonna barbecue this weekend with the kids. So I can't complain. I can't complain. And last night enjoyed watching split screen Montreal side by side last night. Watching the NHL playoff game between the Sabres and Canadiens, and then the PWHL Walter Cup final game one between Montreal and Ottawa, which fittingly, my daughter's favorite player is Abby Rock, who scored the game-winning goal in overtime in game one of the Walter Cup. So it was exciting for my daughter, who she didn't make it all the way to overtime. Basically, we watched the first two periods with the start. It is still school, and then when she was up early this morning, I basically fast-forwarded to let her watch to overtime before we went to school this morning. So
nice. Okay, so you and I, you more than me, but we're technically in the hockey business.
Yes. But
since the Stars are out, I kind of like to fanboy every once in a while. It kind of brings me how I got into this as my love of hockey. And I know Spits and Suds listeners are out there, Sean, and I wanted to ask your opinion. So do I root for, I'm thinking about going east because I struggle to root for Colorado, although it would be nice to say the Stanley Cup winner came from our own division. Don't want to really root for Vegas. Carolina, okay, because of Logan Stankoven. I want to root for him, and I think that they have a good system and a great coach. Buffalo, I really like Lindy Ruff, and I love the story of Montreal. So help me out here and help our listeners, Sean. You know, give us some rooting interest. I like to take a step back and say, okay, I'm a fan now. Who's my new team that I'm rooting for?
Yeah. I am personally, I'm a big fan of the Logan Stankoven story, just as someone who I was covered from the day he was drafted and has always been. There's lots of good people in the hockey world, but Logan is someone who is a legit, really, really good person too, on top of the excellent performance on the ice. So, Carolina for me would be particularly fun for a couple reasons. One, I think there's a couple players I think I like the way that team is run from a coaching perspective. I also like the there's something about a team getting it done, not for the first time, because obviously Carolina won in 2006, if I have my years right there. But Colorado obviously won in 2022. Vegas won in 2023. There's a for me. There's in Montreal is Montreal or Buffalo. So Carolina has a little bit of that best team, one of the best teams throughout the league, probably a deserving champ, and also a little bit of a drought at the same time. I think either way, there's going to be a really good story if the champion comes out of the East. I'll put it that way. I think either way, there's a really good story if the champion comes out of the East. And the story that I would like to relive personally a little bit more over the summer than if it's Vegas or Colorado.
Yeah. Now, I did before the season pick Colorado to win the cup, but I almost want to throw that to the side and say, who cares about my prediction? Like, I want to, you know, it just, I don't know why. Sometimes it makes it, you know, fun when you don't have necessarily like a rooting interest. It's kind of cool just to enjoy hockey from a fan perspective, but at the same time, you know, cover it. And we continue to have really interesting news in the NHL, including one coach that many teams will certainly ask permission. He is a much sought after cup winning coach in Bruce Cassidy, but there's a little snag in this, as Vegas is, as of right now, not allowing permission for Bruce Cassidy to talk with other teams.
Yeah. And I think this is kind of goes into the quote unquote contractual and moral rightness are two different things here, Gavin, right?
Yes.
Because I think one thing, contractually speaking, Bruce Cassidy is still an employee of the Vegas Golden Knights, and NHL coaching contracts are guaranteed deals. And so for those who, I think there's a little education required on that, where
when a coach is fired, they're not actually fired. They're simply relieved of their duties. And I think that's kind of an important distinction for these, jobs, that these contract jobs, because they're guaranteed money, they're guaranteed term. And so Bruce Cassidy, while he is, contractually speaking, still an employee of the Vegas Golden Knights, who was simply relieved of his duties. And so as long as he doesn't break that contract, he keeps getting paid. I think he was making 4.2 or 4.3 million or whatever. He keeps getting paid that money. So it's kind of the classic Mad Men line of that's what the money's for. That being said, well, contractually Vegas has every right to not let him interview with another team, as he even confirmed himself yesterday in an interview with, I think it was the NHL media site. They were talking about what's next for him. I saw the clip on social media. On the flip side, the Stars could have done the same thing to Pete DeBoer when he was hired by the Islanders with four games left in the regular season. Jim Nill could have said to the Islanders, nope, he's a Stars employee. We're going to, you can't talk to him. And so contractually speaking, the Stars could have done the same thing to Pete DeBoer. The Edmonton Oilers, in theory, will be able to do the same thing to Chris Knobloch over the next 3 years, whenever he starts popping up for another coaching job. So, but what Vegas did is unprecedented from the moral perspective and honestly the business perspective, because while you might want to exert control and do this and that or the other, somebody gets another job, another coaching job, you no longer have to keep paying them. And so that's the other part that's always confusing this. Well, for one, it's just the right thing to do. If you've fired somebody and relieved them of their duties, you might as well let them get on with their life and get their next job. It seems kind of scummy to not let them do that. And B, from a business perspective, wouldn't you prefer not to pay someone not to work for you? And so what Vegas is doing just feels it's very unprecedented. It feels weird and kind of cutthroat at the same time. And the other important note too is there's no potential compensation for hiring Bruce Cassidy. That stuff doesn't exist anymore. So it's not like Vegas can be like, well, we're doing this to get better value for Bruce Cassidy from in return if someone else hires him. So those are those are some of the important notes. And it feels scummy for what Vegas is doing, and it just doesn't make much sense to me, honestly.
Yeah, I don't either, because I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a massive hockey fan, and he goes, well, it makes sense. Like, you know, you don't want Edmonton because it's the same division, and, you know, you don't want Bruce Cassidy facing off against your old team. And then I just paused and said, but then why did you fire him?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, that's a great point. So, yeah. Very good explanation. Thank you for that, Sean. And on top of that, Jesse Granger tweeted out last night, and that has caused our friend Robert Tiffin on starsthoughts.com to pen an article on hockey media and availability. Per Jesse Granger, John Tortorella declined to speak with the media after advancing to the Western Conference Finals. The Golden Knights also didn't open the dressing room after the game. They brought one player into a side room to speak, along with the two who spoke at the podium. And I know Mitch Marner did speak to TNT after the game. Jesse says, I've been covering the NHL for 9 years, never seen either of those happen once. Weird, considering that they advanced and they don't want to talk to the media. That to me is really fascinating. So Vegas is kind of piling up the interesting news clipping, so to speak.
Yeah. From a Vegas perspective, and I want to be clear, I see these people jumping online and saying, oh my God, they had a quick flight out of John Wayne and John Wayne doesn't allow flights to leave after 10 PM. Well, that's BS. Yeah. They weren't flying out of John Wayne, for one. They were actually flying out of, if you really must know, they were flying out of Long Beach, and Long Beach actually allows planes to fly out whenever with special permission. So that's just to, I can't believe we have to go down that route. This was a calculated FU type moment from John Tortorella and from Vegas, from the Vegas organization, depending on, I'm not sure who's in charge of it, who's not. These are the type of things where I don't believe it's not media relations, Gavin, saying don't open the locker room. It's definitely someone telling them to do that. And then those people are put in a rock and a hard place. And I think I want to go out of my way to give credit to people who have done things the right way before. One of the people who used to work in PR and is now actually the assistant general manager for the San Jose Sharks, Tom Holley. I never really appreciated how much Tom fought back for the media during my time. Like I do now, but it was something, but like it took some learning from me where there was, Tom was the guy who in PR, when the Stars would make a couple decisions or there were people would try to not do things. And Tom would understand where we were coming from and would kind of force players to do things. One of my more frustrating quote unquote media access battles came during the postseason it was either 2018 or 19. And Alexander Radulov just refused to make himself available to the media. And I remember Tom doing everything in his power to try to help save Radulov from himself with some of the problems. And in the end, the player couldn't, in the end, the player just continued to basically be, and we had to escalate it all the way up to, as silly as this sounds, we had to escalate it all the way up to Jim Nill, and eventually Radulov spoke. So I don't know, this is not Vegas PR saying don't open the locker room. This is clearly John Tortorella and someone within Vegas, and Kelly McCrimmon, who is the GM of the Golden Knights, really embraces the "where the bad guys, no one likes us" attitude. When they won the Stanley Cup, I remember I was there. I've never seen somebody so thrilled about taking the victory lap and telling how many people that they were wrong about him. So this is kind of who Vegas has been. And I'll be honest, Gavin, what the Golden Knights did doesn't, I guess it's not that it surprises me. Like, it doesn't surprise me that a team would do this at some point, especially as we've been going further and further to teams controlling the access. I've actually been more surprised, Gavin, about the anti-media response to this, because I've seen a lot of people respond to Jesse's tweet or Sinbin Vegas, who does a really good job covering the team independently, who've been being like, well, who cares what they like, who cares? You'll hear him talk another day. And whether John Tortorella was going to give a good press conference or not, to me, it's just a slap in the face to the whole, to the people that put in the time and work to be there.
Right.
And to the line to your fans and the communication to it. And my other point about John Tortorella, and this will be, I'm not in a position to do this because I'm not in a hiring position, but I'm sure he'll happily accept a job on an ESPN panel.
Yes.
Once he's available again. And that to me is one of the bigger parts of this, where it's good for me, but not good for thee. And it's the, like, just, I really hope, and it's not, I know it's not going to be the case, but I really hope that somebody has some backbone at some point, whenever John Tortorella comes looking for that media money again and says, well, I'm going to give it to somebody who's been a bit more respectful to our profession. So.
Right. Yeah. A couple points that I wanted to make as well to your point on John Tortorella. I loved when he spoke to the media about Mitch Marner and how glowing he was. I thought that was great. I was hoping that maybe he could re-image himself with this opportunity. I was hoping that would be the case. From a broad scale, Sean, what an opportunity for the NHL, the people that cover the NHL, to show the personalities in the Vegas locker room, to showcase Jack Eichel, to showcase Mitch Marner, to showcase, I mean, name the player. And I think that opportunity passed, and that's such a shame. I mean, You want to grow the great game. It's the NHL. I know it's doing really well, and I appreciate that. But at some point, you also have to take a step back and say, hey, we need to allow as much access as possible because we have a fairly hot league right now, and we need to showcase these teams that are doing well. It's Vegas. It's sexy. And not to do that, I just think it's a missed opportunity. I mean, it'll pass, but I just think it was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, and it's... And I think it's just kind of the combative nature of things we live in now, where I was texting with Robert, who I wrote a very well thought out piece. So I encourage you to go read what Robert wrote. Like I was texting with Robert even before I knew he was writing something. Like I intentionally, we've reached the world where I hate to say the reality of it, but the reality is like, for me, it wasn't even worth weighing in on this on social media because there's just a, there's no way to add the proper context and nuance and not have someone tell you and have someone actually listen to your point. And so I was appreciative. I told Robert I wanted to chat about it. I told him I would, probably you and I would chat about it in this format and this show so people can kind of hear some of the nuance and hear some of that. And then him and I will probably talk about it next week on our show. And I thought he did a really good job writing about it. It's kind of, it also goes down the funny, like slippery slope, Gavin, of I dislike, I personally have I have a heavy dislike for when media members complain about, there's a media lesson here too, Gavin. And bear with, and tell me if I'm crazy, but here's what it is. I think it's okay to complain about things. It's okay to complain about things or bring things up in media in this job, but you got to make sure you're actually complaining about the right things, right? So if you're a media member who bitches about your flight delays or whatever, and I see a lot of people do it, all of a sudden you just sound like you're bitching about things and you're bitching about everything. And at the end of the day, we get to try, like a week from today, I'm flying to Kelowna for the Memorial Cup. I get to go spend a week in Western Canada covering Championship of Junior Hockey. Awesome experience. I'm so thrilled for it. I'm going to have an ugly connection through Calgary. I don't need to jump on Twitter and complain about the delay of my flight from Calgary or having to kill time in the Calgary airport. I get to spend 3 hours in the Calgary airport because I get to go and do this for a living. And so I think there's a bit of the media lesson of when you go and complain about everything and when people don't care about media complaints, but when you are selective and you bring up fair points, like the one Jesse did after the game last night, it holds value, but you can't, you gotta be, I guess that's my PSA, I guess, from the media side of this. Yeah, like there's too many times I see people complaining about the fact they get to cover a game for a living. And so I get where some of that frustration comes from the other side of like, oh, you're complaining about doing, like, this one is worth bringing up. But maybe from the media lesson, anyone who wants to get into this field is listening or anything like that, like, don't complain about things that other people would pay lots of money to do. Just to be in your shoes.
I completely agree. And you know, one of the things that it does overshadow is heck of a season, Anaheim Ducks.
Yeah.
So yes. Heck of a season.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire. Plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
This is the sound of captivity. This is the sound of rescue. And this is the sound of freedom. Give Armenia's captive bears a second chance by supporting International Animal Rescue. Call 508-826-1083 or search The Great Bear Rescue to learn more.
Jim Gregory, General Manager of the Year, announced earlier this week after we did our first podcast of the week. We have Bill Guerin of the Minnesota Wild, Chris McFarland of the Colorado Avalanche, Pat Verbeek of the Anaheim Ducks. So Jim Nill's reign will end. But Sean, these three candidates, wow, this is a tough one to choose. Who are you liking in this?
Yeah, and I do like how they changed the voting of this award from to take place after the first round of the playoffs. They changed that. That's an important note because it used to be after the second round, so there was only four teams remaining. So it kind of became a which of the four candidates in the conference finals, which one did the best. So I kind of like that. I would prefer if they did it even before the playoffs started, but we're getting there one step at a time. For me, it's the job Bill Guerin did this year. And it's, I know this is an NHL award and everything like that. And obviously some people might look at it. The Olympic stuff probably led to some additional buzz, but when you go and put your chips on the table like they did for the Hughes trade, when you go and are willing to make bets that others aren't, like, that was, he did a hell of a job this year. We got the Kaprizov stuff done within the last 18 months. Look at that. Matt Boldy deal is the best, is the best deal in hockey.
The Foligno trade was a good one.
He did an absolutely great job with that team, and so it's hard not to look at Guerin and say, "Hey, this is a guy who was willing to." From you can disagree with his Team USA decisions, but they won a gold medal, and I know that's not what this award is based on, but I think it is emblematic of kind of how he approached things. So, all three are. The interesting thing about the GM of the Year award, Gavin, for me is, what's the body of work? Because it's a job that doesn't have a fine game one to game 82 timeline, right? Like all the other awards are based off of, like the Hart Trophy, the Norris are based off, hey, what you did this season, and we have a start and stop, right? When it comes to team building, do I reward you in a Chris McFarland type deal? Is it something where I reward the work that you've done over the past couple of years? I don't vote on this award, but is it something where you reward the work over the past couple of years to be in this spot? Or is a splashy move the way you do it? Or if you're in a Carolina perspective, right? Like, shouldn't there be more love for Eric Tolsky for just continuously sticking to his way of building? So,
absolutely. And, you know, kudos to Mike Greer. That was a heck of a season San Jose had. And, you know, now that they landed the second pick, maybe he'll be part of the Jim Gregory next year if the team plays well. But I wanted to throw that in for a former star. People forget that Bill Guerin was a Dallas Star one point. Hey, sad news. We wanted to bring this up really close as far as you're concerned. And I talk about elite prospects that Sean writes for them. I can't tell you guys how much I use this website. The founder of Elite Prospects, Johan Nielsen, died way too early after a struggle with cancer. And Sean, this guy, I mean, when we talk about innovators and people who have changed the game as far as how it's covered, he was a hockey fan from the start. Just an awesome what he did for this sport, starting elite prospects, not just for North American hockey, but for world hockey. The fact that you can research anybody is absolutely amazing. And the work that Elite Prospects does as far as covering the draft, covering all angles, you're a big part of that. So, I mean, stick tap to Johan. I mean, what? Just so sad.
Yeah, it's... you wrote this on Twitter, X, or whatever it was yesterday, and... I appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about Johan here, because he's someone who I never got to meet him in person. He was based in back in Stockholm. I was hoping that him and I were going to have our first face-to-face meeting at some point this year, which is, makes it a little bit more bittersweet, but he was, every conversation with him was, you could sense his energy, his, how much he loved the game and the people around the game. And he very quietly fought cancer for 9 years. Like it's the whole, I cannot imagine that. He was, he's got a 2-year-old and an 8-year-old who are now without a father. And he, over the last 9 years, he fought this quietly and then ultimately was, it was with grace and everything like that. And he was such a cool person and such a great guy. And the Elite Prospect story, Gavin, is, for those who don't know, is Johan's a senior in high school or whatever they call it in Sweden. He's 18 years old and he launches this site where it just kind of starts as like a hockey blog, and he just starts keeping stats on it and collecting them. And now 29 years later, it is the, and I'm obviously biased because I do some work, I do a good amount of work for them and everything like that, but 29 years later, it is the encyclopedia for the hockey world. And absolutely. It had just started because of, he had a passion for this. And I think his legacy is, I mean, there's what you and I see on the front end, and what we all see, but there's, I believe 28 or 29 NHL teams use Elite Prospects within their internal systems. There's almost every major league has a partnership with them, has a partnership with Elite Prospects when it comes to data and building things out. I get to see firsthand on the daily the greatest individual group of scouts that don't work for an NHL team. I get to work with on a day-to-day basis over at EP, through some great people working with JD Burke and Mitch Brown and Lauren Kelly and so many, many, many more, and Peter Sibner. And it all started because of Johan's vision and the way he kind of drove things just from the beginning. And so his legacy is going to live on through Elite Prospects, and I'm very happy about that. But more importantly, he left such a great impact on the people in the hockey world.
Yeah.
So I really, I appreciate you, Gavin, give me the chance to talk about him. And it's kind of I love the phrase of like, his memory is going to be a blessing, because his memory is going to be a blessing, right? Like it's
true that, pioneer.
Like there's, it's sad and it's hurting right now. Right. Like, and,
yeah,
but I'm going through this and talking right now and talking about even our brief interactions over, we would have monthly meetings. I would have monthly meetings with the office in Stockholm, and we would talk over that. Right. And so I'm smiling thinking about him right now, even though it's obviously incredibly difficult and sad, and there's a lot of people hurt today. But it's, those memories are a blessing, and I think that's the best way to remember the person. And so if you check out Elite Prospects and
It's also, I know if you're listening to this show, you're a hockey fan, so you've been to Elite Prospects. So
yeah,
keep him and his wife and kids in your thoughts, because they're the ones that need the most today. So
Sean, I wanted to try to figure out, you know, on this program, how could I celebrate his life? And I think if Johan was listening to this podcast, he'd bring a smile, because Elite Prospects gave me some of these numbers. And I just wanted to end on a high note because of his passion for hockey. The CHL, Canadian Hockey League, top 50 players list. Mm-hmm. In any time, Sean, Wayne Gretzky comes in number 3, you know it's a banger of a list. And this is something special that Elite Prospects does. So coming in at number 3, Wayne Gretzky, the great one. Number 2, Sidney Crosby. And coming in at number 1 for top 50 players list in the last 50 years, Mario Lemieux. And because of Elite Prospects, I found out that in 1983-84, playing for Laval, Mario Lemieux, as captain in 70 games, Sean, 133 goals, 149 assists, 282 points in 70 games.
He is, I want the, I had a ballot in this actually too, in this top 50.
And, oh, cool.
I had Mario number 1, actually. I had Wayne number 2. I had Wayne Gretzky number 2 on this. So it was a really cool thing the CHL did to kind of put this all together and everything. And I really appreciated being one of the voters and part of the panel for this. It was, you go take some time on Elite Prospects today.
Yes.
Dive through Mario Lemieux's stats, but also, like, you can go see our boy, like, Florian Weiser's stats, right?
Yes.
Like you can go check that out, and you can dive down some crazy wormholes. Awesome. My last Johan story about what he built. I think it's such a cool thing. Is like, I remember one of the early times working at Elite Prospects, and you start to learn about kind of the background on how things work. And I remember being part of a call where there was someone emailed to see if they could get their Elite Prospects profile taken down because they were worried about her and their eligibility for their beer league. So,
Oh, that is so awesome. And by the way, we talked about Cato Rourke. You can go look at Cato Rourke's stats.
Yep.
That, you know, growing up around the Cedar Park area, now playing in Toronto, he's going to be so much fun to watch. So you can check it out on Elite Prospects. Absolutely amazing. Which leads me, and I'll end on this, Sean. I have found someone, and I'm just going to throw his name out so that when you start hearing his name, even Sean Shapiro could be like, all right, Gavin's getting the hang of it. 14-year-old, my friend, Cale Nicole, playing for the U15 Brandon Wheat Kings. 32 games, 86 goals, 55 assists, 141 points. The pride of Manitoba, Canada. 14 years old. Remember this name, Cale Nicole.
Gavin, I will make sure your application is processed. So.
I'm trying, man. Yeah, D-Magazine, where you at? I'm trying.
Yeah.
I know, it's so much fun, and you have taken me down so many great wormholes, and I am such a nerd now. I absolutely love it, and it's because of our great guest Sean Shapiro. Great tribute to Johan. Sean, great stories. You need to support Sean, and here's how you do it. You go to Substack, and it's just a small monthly fee. It's Shap Shots. So terrific articles. You can also help out our friend Robert Tiffin, starsthoughts.com. I'll retweet that article. I retweet Sean's stuff as well. Sean also writes for Elite Prospects, who we've been talking about, for D Magazine, his terrific YouTube that he pairs with Robert. What a 1-2 combo, called Algorithmically Incorrect. So go to YouTube and just hit the follow button. Then that'll help the guys a lot. So terrific job as always, man. I really enjoyed this program.
Yeah, me too, Gavin. I appreciate it. And we will, looking forward to chatting again next week.
All right. Remember, everyone, Kale Nicole, 14 years old, for the greatness of Sean Shapiro and producer Gregory Finley and the On Time Experts. So thankful that they sponsor this program. I'm Gavin Spittle of 105.3 The Fan. Until our next program, have a great day, everyone.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain and the letter x.com/AI.